those organizations and individuals who gave presentations, I mean, who gave some written submissions. Thank you very much in advance. We are going to take you after this presentation and engage appropriately. Most welcome to all the members. I know that we've cut your holiday a bit short, but after this week, I think, or next week, whatever, we'll have a holiday as we have our oversight visit as well. We'll just try and mix that. DG, let me give over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We also, as the department, wish to say Happy New Year to you, the members of the Portfolio Committee, and all the members here. I'd like to introduce my team with your permission, Chair. On my left-hand side, I have Dr. Bonakele Mehlomakulu. She's already familiar with the members of the Portfolio Committee. She is the Deputy Director General responsible for Research, Development and Innovation. The reason why I'm doing the presentation is because she has delegated upward and asked me to do the presentation. Otherwise, this is her baby. On the other side, next to her, it's Mr. Buseletse Luselo, who is he was working on this project as the head of legal services at the DST. He has crossed the floor. He's now moved to the Department of Social Development, but he's agreed to continue with this work to its logical conclusion. So we thank him, and we've spoken to his DG about this. And then after that, we have Ms. Mapula Kutuha, who is also in the legal services section, and she has also played an important role in the drafting of the bill. I don't think I have to introduce Veli. He's familiar to most of the committee members, but of course he makes sure that there's a proper link between the department and yourselves, and we are always thankful for his contribution. Stephen Ratsatsi, again, he works in Bonakele's group, and he's also been involved in the drafting of the bill from the content side. And then lastly, Christine Close, who's also worked in the development of the business case. So that's the first-tier team. I know Alice is sitting somewhere at the back. She's part of the ministry. Okay, so with your permission, we hope we'll stick to the 40 minutes that's allocated to us. What we'd like to do in the 40 minutes that is allocated to us is to give a little bit of a context of the bill and talk about innovation as a national competence and why we believe it's important for us to consider innovation as part of the work that we do. And then we'll talk about the involvement of stakeholders that we've had in the process of drafting the bill and the consultation that we've had, at least at a high level. And then we'll give, in a sense, objects and key elements of the TIA bill, because the assumption is that members and, of course, the rest of the House here has gone through the bill. So, in a sense, an executive summary of the bill, if you like. So we started off with a white paper in Science and Technology in 1996, where the idea of the innovation was coined, and for the first time, I think this was introduced as one of the imperatives for the work that we do in science and technology. And this was also, of course, included in the National R&D Strategy, which was published in 2002. And then this was raised again as a major challenge and an area of focus on the work that the OECD review in reviewing the National System of Innovation last year. We had a section on the DST 10-year innovation plan that says innovation is one of the areas that we'd like to focus attention on in the next 10 years. And then, of course, the work that we do in the department and the focus of the 10-year plan is to make sure that the work that we do links to the initiatives, other initiatives in government, like the National Industrial Policy Framework, that's what NIPF stands for, and other sectorial initiatives. Here we give an example of the aerospace industry and the work that we are doing on titanium beneficiation, as well as biocomposites to support the aerospace industry, as an example. So this is the main challenge that we are trying to address. Now, this graph on the left-hand side shows the work that is produced at universities and some science councils knowledge that is produced when research is conducted. And then on the extreme right, it's the work that is done by local industry and the industrial products that we have. And what we do find in South Africa, at least, is that most of this research then gets exploited overseas in terms of converting the research results into technology development and production. And in the process, we then have technology transfer from overseas back into the local industry in South Africa. There is nothing wrong with that, and it should continue, but you can see there's another arrow there that says, unfortunately, sometimes when you do that, the rands, dollars, and euros leave the country. And therefore, we end up with this chasm, innovation chasm, which we are trying to address, where we want to find areas of competitive advantage in South Africa, where we will try and convert local knowledge into useful products and industry development. So if you assume that you have an innovation chain that starts from basic research on the left-hand side to applied research to technology development and transfer of knowledge and its proliferation in industry, we've just used this diagram to illustrate the point. And the point that we'd like to illustrate here is that we have useful instruments on the left-hand side of this innovation chain. We have the Department of Education and the NRF that have excellent both funding instruments and institutional form to make sure that we do basic research and applied research in South Africa. So on the left-hand side, for instance, at the NRF, we have instruments like the research chairs. That's not PGP, it's PDP, Professional Development Program, and other human capital development instruments and other instruments at the NRF to encourage research to happen at the universities. The focus of the outputs then on the left-hand side, it's publications and new knowledge that I showed in the previous slide as mostly knowledge that sometimes leave the country and go overseas. If we then move to the right, we have applied research, again, NRF, DST, TIA. The proposed TIA will play a role. Of course, we have science councils as well playing an important role in that slot. And then DST and TIA in technology development will play a role and will continue to do that with, of course, the science councils. And then on the right-hand side is predominantly the work that the Department of Trade and Industry is doing, and we've given some instruments of the work that we do. So the focus of this presentation is to make sure that we strengthen the link between the basic research that gets done at the university as well as applied research that is done at the Science Council and make sure that there is a link there and this goes all the way to industry. But not only do we want to make sure that we move from left to right, but we also want to make sure that what's happening on the right-hand side in the form of what the industries are doing is also connected to what the science councils and the universities are doing. And the competence centers that we are proposing, we believe would be the right instruments to link universities, private sector, and science councils so that they can define the appropriate research questions. And hopefully in so doing, we'll be able on the right-hand side to have patents and other new forms of knowledge products coming out of the system. Now, what we did at the DST as part of this exercise was to say that if we claim that there are some lost opportunities and some knowledge that has left the country, we need to have a scientific way of making sure that this knowledge has been lost to South Africa. So we have a full list of lost opportunities in South Africa, which were lost because we did not have a TIA-type entity. And then our view is that this chasm, this innovation chasm, continues to exist as a result of a number of reasons. One is the lack of access to venture capital in its entirety, and we will explain what we mean by this because we also don't want a misunderstanding of what we mean by venture capital in the context of TIA. We also believe that we've probably not been 100% up to speed in the way that we manage our intellectual property rights. And then, of course, the loss of IP as a result of migration of people, which will continue to happen, but we want to find a way in which this could be minimized. And then, of course, other business development skills especially on how you convert technology invention into the marketplace. Now, with your permission, Chair, we hope the system will work. We just want to play a 5-minute video. Christine, you may have to come in. On the work that...
Why don't we take that as a commercial break and see if it works in the next 2 minutes. If it doesn't, you sort it out and we have tea.
Okay.
Let's break for tea. Let's break for tea. So that we come back and have a good... It will take us 5 minutes for tea. It's outside. Tea, water, you are allowed to bring it inside.
Okay.
Let's do that for the next 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Welcome, Titus.
Are you also from the state?
Yeah, he's our US.
Just joined.
Oh, all right.
Just joined.
Okay, welcome. Thank you. Into the new year.
Yeah.
All of the best.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Zelna?
Okay, so choose. I think we can finish it.
Yeah, we can. How many, all together, how many do we have?
Entities
that want to.
That will be presenting is about 9 entities.
That's what we had it on now.
Oh,
I think today we're having.
I've seen the last team.
Program. Yeah, today we're having 7. One section.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 7.
And then tomorrow we're having 3 more people. But the ones that remain withdrawn.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it's the same line as the DSA.
Have you scheduled a meeting for Thursday?
I have. I haven't informed members yet.
Mm.
I have sent them this, though. We're having a problem.
Sorry, Chair.
So I do have a venue. This week. Okay.
Is your program for next week still as it was?
Because we're having, well, it has to go back to Mr. Deutsch now. The application will be at the in principle approval, subject to completing the loan.
Okay.
Now, once we have the funding and everything, the quotes and that, then it goes back to Mr. Deutsch. It's going to happen today. The application to give his final approval.
Okay. Which means venues are not booked yet?
For next week. No, we don't have meetings for next week.
But what is next week?
Next week we're supposed to have the oversight visit.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh no, we haven't booked hotels or anything yet.
We are here this week until here.
Mm.
And then Tuesday to Friday next week, conduct oversight, such technology, blah, blah, blah. That's what I'm talking about. That means we have not finalized the venues and things.
No, we haven't.
Because we're still waiting for...
Yeah. We're waiting on the program. It couldn't go to Mr. Deutsch without a program from the department. So I got a program yesterday, but it was only for 3 days. So they had to write me an email to say they're still working on it. So I got that today, so it's going to end
today. Okay. Which means it's for 4 days now.
It's for 4 days, but we're leaving on the Monday. The people in Cape Town leave Monday, and the people in Pretoria are looking to the hotels on Monday. Okay.
No problem. No problem.
So you're going to get some tea?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm just waiting for that congestion to subside.
Not projecting, so maybe we move on without the presentation, I mean without the video too.
It would be nice to see a movie. We promise people a movie.
A movie? we can arrange for a private screening.
No, if it's not responding then.
Because I don't know why. I mean, it's showing, but it's not. It's
projecting. Projecting. Let's just check with IT if they can assist us quickly.
If just the check inside.
Wait, what happened to the iPhone?
Yeah, I'm calling them. Good day, it's Alnia at the venue B475. Yeah, we've got a problem with the laptop. Yeah. You're gonna come now? Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay, they're gonna send somebody.
Just tell them. And then you also go and have tea.
Okay, they're gonna send somebody.
And a fair amount of time trying to get this funding up and running. There are some of these venture capitals, even though very, very small in South Africa, that play in that space. The type of funding that we're talking about is the one where very people are prepared to fund high-risk projects and that are still uncertain in terms of how they will get to the marketplace. What I'd like to do is to give you this slide. I know it's quite complex, but I'll try and explain it. If you look at the bottom left-hand corner, these are the research institutes that I showed in the Innovation Chasm slide. So it's a different way of presenting the Innovation Chasm. On the top right-hand side, it's the private sector companies that are involved in their business. And there are two points that we want to make in this slide. The first one is that if you want to move research results from the left-hand side, from the institutes into the private sector, you want to create an entity, you have to go through different types of funding instruments. You have seed funding, start-up funding, which you see on the second left, early funding, expansion funding, and maturity funding. So when we talk about the funding that TIA is going to provide, it is aimed, therefore, at providing funding at the seed, start-up, and early phase. Again, the reason why we explain this thing is that quite often we get questions where people say, but there is venture capital funding in South Africa. So we are trying to use this to distinguish the venture capital funding that you find on the extreme right and the venture type funding which we have on the left-hand side. And the one that we are describing, therefore, is the left-hand side, which again will bridge the innovation chasm by moving the research results that are happening on the left-hand side to the right-hand side. That's the first point. The second point is that if you look on the vertical axis, you will see that at the top of that axis, there is an arrow that talks about outright loss of the work that we do or the intellectual property that we lose in South Africa. And we want to make sure that that intellectual property also is part of the intellectual property that drives the research results out from the left-hand side to the right-hand side. Now, that process is a separate process which we will come back to the portfolio committee to discuss as to how we're proposing to do that through the intellectual property bill for the publicly financed institution. So those are the two points that we thought we wanted to make in this slide, and just to remind ourselves that this process is a separate process from the IPR bill, which is having a slightly different function. So the objectives, therefore, of TIA is to develop a significant technology base for the South African economy through stimulating the development of the development of technology-based enterprises. I can't hear myself. Yep. Thanks. Development of technology-based enterprises. Now, again, here we thought we should differentiate what we mean by this, because there is a tendency to say, well, if you are going to be involved in the development of enterprises, there are other entities out there that are doing the same. We want to give examples of two companies that have been formed through the work that the Innovation Fund funded. The one is Geratech, which is a company that is in Krugersdorp that is involved in the beneficiation of zirconia. It was set up by the work that was done by a consortium that involved University of Pretoria, Nexa, and Mintec, I think. So it was research that was done in these entities, and this research had a potential in the commercial space, so this company was set up and it's up and running. And then we have another company, which is Optimal Energy. This is a company, again, that's been set up through the work that the Innovation Fund has funded, which is trying to develop a vehicle that is powered by a battery. This company is here in Cape Town. And again, the significance of explaining these companies will come later on in the presentation. So if we continue with the objectives, is to provide an intellectual property support platform, stimulate investment by means of venture capital, which I now hopefully it's clear that is on the left-hand side, foreign direct investment and other mechanisms, and then facilitate the development of the type of human capital that you need in this space for innovation. Now, we would not start TIA from scratch. We hope that we will consolidate some of the activities that the department has been funding over the last 5 years or so. And these are the projects that are running out of the department or in the institutional forms that the department set up: the Biotechnology Regional Innovation Centers, Innovation Fund, the Advanced Manufacturing Technology Strategy Project, Advanced Minerals Initiative, Hydrogen Economy Competence Centers, and the Chumisano Initiative. Now, the second point that we are going to share with you in the presentation is some of the stakeholder engagement that we've had. In July 25th of July 2007, Cabinet approved the process towards the establishment of the Technology Innovation Agency. And on the 17th of August, the draft bill was published in the Government Gazette. And then in October last year, the draft bill was revised and certified by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. And then the bill on the 2nd of December was published with invitations for written submissions, and we've received some of them, and I'm sure the Portfolio Committee has. So the approach of how we hope to set this thing up is in three phases. The first phase was the planning phase, where we looked at the process of setting it up and planning, the mapping of the stakeholders that we think would be affected and that we should consult, the concept, which we've now explained, the legislation and the draft institution and the migration strategy, develop the institution. And then the phase two was the legislation development process, where we tested the concept, we finalized legislation, and we are now finalizing the migration strategy, where we, of course, had one-on-ones with certain individuals and institutions, we've had seminars and we've had workshops. And phase three would be the establishment of the TIA, where we would make sure that there is an institutional migration of all the entities that migrate into TIA. There would be public awareness, and of course, we'll finalize the development of regulations if it's appropriate. And then we will have a change management workshops and information campaigns. We've received some comments on the draft legislations from science councils and research institutions, higher education institutions, government departments, state-owned enterprises, financial institutions, private sector and industry bodies, science and technology networking and collaboration forums. Now, if you look at the highlights, early indications are that there is receptivity towards the TIA. And its establishment, we believe it's positive. Efforts towards the actual establishment of the TIA have been widely welcomed at this point, at least from what we've received. And some of the comments, they require, they're asking that specific emphasis on TIA operations should be informed by sound business principles. We should have quick turnaround times in the decision-making of the proposals that TIA receives. And if we can, provide end-to-end support for technology commercialization and entrepreneurship. And we believe that the concept that we've shared with you does reflect at least the last point. So we thought the last thing that we would share with you is just to give you a summary of the objects of the bill. The bill is therefore trying to provide for the establishment of a juristic person known as the Technology Innovation Agency, TIA. And the purpose of the agency, therefore, is to support the state in stimulating and intensifying technological innovation and invention in order to improve economic growth and the quality of life of all South Africans, to provide for the appointment of the board and the executive of the TIA, and to describe the objects, powers, and functions of this agency. Our view is that the funds of the agency will consist of money appropriated by Parliament. But of course, we hope it will also generate revenue, including interest derived from some of the investments that it makes. Money raised or borrowed by the agency in cases where the agency feels there are opportunities that can be funded and where there would be substantial returns, and there would also be impact that would be made in the society and the economy. Money obtained from other sources, donations, and contributions. Now, we are proposing through the advice of the state law advisor that the Inventions Development Act of 1962 will be repealed as a result of this TF bill when it becomes an act. And then the South African Inventions Development Corporation, which I think was established as a result of this bill, would then be disestablished. The act will be called Technology Innovation Agency Act 2008, and hopefully it will come into operation as soon as all the processes from now onward have been finalized. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Thanks to the team as well. I'm going to open this for some comments and questions, if any, clarifications or whatever from members before we take other presentations. Let me just welcome two other colleagues, members, Ditebe and Mokal. Welcome and compliments to you too as well. The State Law Advisor's Office is with us as well in this meeting, and I hope that they will be with us throughout until we finish this process, so that we just ensure that we dot the I's as we do amendments, if any, and cross the T's properly and so on. And that also, the slide that you gave us, DG, you've amended it a bit, so you'll have to give us the electronic version of that slide so that members can have an appreciation of some of the amendments that you've made. Just one question from me. The repeal of the Invention Development Act, is it in its entirety or is it partially? I just want to clarify that one, because my understanding was that that act, the act itself covered more than, broader than what we intend to cover here. I'm not sure whether I read this correctly, and if there's a process of taking this forward so that we clarify that better upfront. Before I take other questions, maybe we can just do that. On the same one? Oh, okay.
Okay, later just go on. Ahead. You're repealing that act, then what happens to the assets of the corporation? I have assumed that these assets would go to the new agency, but in your sources of funding and in the rest of your presentation, there's no reference to that. Thanks.
Sorry, Chair. I'm over here. Yeah, on the same issue, that particular bill that's going, or act that's going to be repealed, I think we need to have sight of it just to actually marry the two to see that there's not any replications or, you know, duplications that might be existing between them. So I'd appreciate if we could also have sight of that at some stage. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, reference is made in the briefing that we've had just in front of us just now that the process was finalized on the 2nd of December when the revised bill was published and called for invitations and written submissions closing on the 10th of January.
Mr. Blanchet?
Now, this happens all the time in...
Just hold it there. Let me just clarify this one and then we take the substantive questions. Sorry about that. You'll take the first one, will be you, and then we'll take Mr. Mokal. Let's just clarify this one so that we put it behind us.
Thank you, Chair. I think the last comment of making the act available should not be a problem. And then I'll ask Buseletso to deal with the two questions of the explanation on whether the Inventions Development Act will be repealed in its entirety and what's going to happen to the assets of the act.
Thank you, Chair. While we are in the process of developing this bill, we were told that there were no assets at that stage, and the companies were not, there was no companies operating under this act. That is why then we opted for the total repeal of the whole act. And we still intend to, the intention is still to repeal the whole act. We are informed that there are some assets, and what would happen to those assets is that they will be transferred to the CSIR, because I'm told there were some companies which fell or operated and actually reported to the CSIR. So those assets will go to the CSIR, but the whole act is going to be repealed. Otherwise, there's going to be a conflict in terms of the two acts providing for almost similar institutions. Thank you, Chair.
Obviously, these two matters need further engagement. Just to clarify the asset base and where is that transfer in terms of which act or which law are they transferred. You don't just transfer out of the blue. I'll come back to you, Mr. We have to come back to that matter. And I would propose that we get this act at least today, if possible, so that members should start looking into this thing. I'll come back to you, Mr. Ditebe. Come back to Mr. Farrow first.
No, Chair, it's not only the assets. I think that we need to have a complete picture of the structure of that particular, you know, agency, particularly in terms of personnel, and how they will be absorbed, or if they are going to be, you know, retrenched, or what's the purpose, or, you know, if there is any personnel associated to this inventions development and corporation. So if that could also be tabled, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tebe.
Okay, Chairperson, thank you very much. A reference to CSIR companies, or perhaps companies associated with the CSIR, is that an implicit or explicit reference to business units of the CSIR? What exactly does that mean?
All right, let me take the prof.
Thank you, Chair. You know, a problem I've been worried about for some time really is, and I've raised this with regard to the CSIR becoming a monster in a way and swallowing up perhaps, I'm not saying they are, but a possibility and swallowing up small companies. Now, the problem I'll take it by comparison, you see, people who do research, for example, would often keep their what they are doing quiet, because once it's let out, the cat is let out of the bag, they've lost control. I'm thinking sort of mathematical research who does things like this will spend years, keep quiet, and come up with a massive kind of solution of a problem. And once you get swallowed into a company, your ideas are lost very often. And I'm just wondering, really, that small independent companies in this kind of situation will not feel threatened, that their employees may go from one place to another, taking ideas over, and therefore they get swallowed up. It's just good to say what effect this may possibly have on small independent companies who may have bright ideas. Thank you.
Thank you, Prof. I'll come back to you, Mr. Mokol. Just before that, State Law Advisor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to add from what Mr. Pesalata has mentioned in the comment about the repeal of the existing legislation. Yes, it is true. We advise the department that it is better if they repeal the existing act, because it was explained to us that that legislation is not in use at all. They are not referring to it. It's just there in the statutes books. And the other reason is that they wanted to set up a new body, which is this agency, the TIA agency, to take over the functions that were used to be performed by the corporation, the existing corporation. So what we advise is that it's better if they repeal that act, and then we dissolve the existing corporation, which we were informed that is not in operation at all. And also the other thing that we wanted to clarify upon is about the board, on the board of the corporation. And then we're also advised that there were no board of the corporation and there were no assets. Hence, in our transitional provisions of the bill, I think it's clause 18 of the bill. We've provided for the disestablishment of the corporation because it's in the statute books. So we need to disestablish it so that it can be removed. And then the other thing that we've provided for is the deregistration of the corporation, because it was registered in the in terms of the Companies Act. So it was important that it should be deregistered as well. So we did not provide for the transfer of assets, employees and staff, because we were told that there were none. But now I've just heard Mr. Pasalete saying that there were apparently some assets which will be transferred to the CSIR. So in view of that, we must have a specific provision dealing with that, because the bill is silent about that thing. So we'll provide for that. And you are right when you're saying that we need to take a special consideration of this aspect. So I'm with you on that. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Why don't we do this so that we give ourselves time? We still have tomorrow as well for members to be able to see this act and to just get further facts around the corporation itself, and assets, board structure, if any, so that when we come to the conclusion of this, we have our facts on the table. I would suggest that we do that and come back to this matter tomorrow if members allow us to do that, including the questions that Comrade Sililo has raised about the CSIR and so on, the concerns that Prof has raised, and also the personnel that Mr. Farrell came about, so that we just come back to this matter tomorrow. I'm hoping that the departments will